Seven Knife and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven Knife and Hallis in your ears, for you. Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the
news. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is 79th and Hallis, or we got to call this shit 79th and playoffs.
You mean 79th and Mitchell Trubisky. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Look what my son has
First
done.
First of all, when we came on here, I asked him who wants to start the fucking
what
podcast.
What my son has
fuck
done
that.
For you all.
I asked him who wants to start the podcast. He told me I can start, and it's usually he cuts me off. Not even 12 seconds in.
Look what my son has done for you, Chicago. You forsaked him. And he forgave you. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not who they're benching. And then look what he has done, but resurrected your playoff hopes. You are here because of him. I want you to die. There are three people who you must thank for the Bears' playoff hopes right now.
Who?
Bill Lazor is one of them.
Okay.
Because he has called excellent games. I cannot deny that. David Montgomery is the second person because four would be a conglomerate. David Montgomery, because he's been running like a maniac. Three would be the offensive line running, though, not necessarily passing, running because they've done a good job in the makeshift line they are. And four is Mitchell Trubisky because he has made it so much easier on the team by finding the open man. This is not saying he don't make the traditional Mitch mistakes, as you saw with that interception in the end zone, which I would have understood if it was a Hail Mary. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Who cares? But you had 20 seconds left. You have plenty of time. Just a stupid, horrid pass. Nothing to excuse it. But still, throughout that, he put you there. He has put you in a position of success. And I don't think anybody can deny that. And the Bears are riding the NFL's hottest offense in the last four weeks, which is hilarious because what?
Did you see the stat? We scored 34 games in a row. First time since 1965.
Not even our 85 Bears. Of course, 85 Bears didn't score a lot. Yeah, that
85 Bears was just Walter Payton the GOAT in a GOAT defense.
It was basically
just keep it funky.
Yeah.
I think Willie Gault had more appearances on TV shows than he had touchdowns that season. So I'm just gonna let y'all know that. When I looked at that stat today, I don't know what was more impressive: the fact that this offense is breaking out like this, or the fact that our franchise history has been so putrid. And this is something that, you know, mad other teams do, but we can't. There's a lot of things I want to get into today.
I want to know, what are the Patriots numbers for scoring 30 straight? You know, like, how have they done?
They probably scored 30 straight all 2007. That's one team that I'm kind of upset they didn't win it all. Because Moss and Brady were fun, man. They were fun.
I got to be honest, that was the one time I didn't root for Brady. I didn't want to see it happen. I did not want to see a 16-0 perfect team.
Why?
I didn't want to hear from it. First of all, I don't care about the Dolphins, but I hate the Dolphins. The 72 Dolphins, talk about them. First of all, nobody outside of Miami cares about the 72 Dolphins.
Number one.
The 72 Dolphins are like, yeah, we were perfect. I'm like, yeah, nigga, you played like 8 games. Who cares?
Yeah. No expansion teams.
Exactly. And the niggas you played against probably wouldn't last a day in the league. I don't care what you did. The arrogance they have to me is just annoying. I don't want to hear it. And I couldn't imagine. I mean, NFL players, football players, period, too, are some of the cockiest people on earth. You give them an inch and they'll take a foot. Look at freaking the Bears. The 2006 Bears talk on national media, or local media rather, as if they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're like, this is not Chicago Bears football. I'm like, you suck the majority of the time. I choose a player, but the team sucked the majority of the time you were here. Are you sure you want to say that? And so I could not have imagined if the Patriots had won 19-0? Is it 19-0? Is that the total number?
The total number. If they'd won the Super Bowl, they won 18-1. So if they'd won the Super Bowl, it'd been 19.
God, Devontae Adams. Yeah.
See, Devontae, my guy.
My only issue is that with so
I'm gonna need him to relax next week. By the way.
Well, fantasy? Fantasy, duh, nigga, Bears, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I need that nigga to relax because I need Jalen Johnson, whenever he's hurt, I need that nigga to, man, they need to put some ice on that shit. We need that nigga next week, bro.
He is, Aaron Rodgers' stats are so deceiving this year because it's a lot of yak. And it's not his fault that he has talented receivers who can run, who can run after catching. But God, anyway. So, yeah, that's my feeling with that. And I did not want to see it done. Anyway, on to the Bears.
Yeah. So what I'm saying about with the Bears, man, there's a lot of things I want to talk about. I want to talk about this game. I want to talk about the offense. I want to talk about Mitchell Trubisky, your boy, the maturation of one Mitchell David Trubisky. I want to talk about this defense. I want to talk about what we're feeling going into this now, this game. So as we talk about next week, we're heading into week 17. By the way, this is the most 2020 ass way to the season, to end the season, to end the year. They're starting off 5-1, then going on a 6-game losing streak, and now we're here with our football destiny, our playoff destiny in our own fucking hands. Next week at home, against the Packers, who will be playing for the number one seed. They're playing the game right now against Tennessee, which is kind of meaningless because Seattle won. And so it's a three-way tie right now for the number one seed between Seattle. New Orleans is the game right now. So Seattle, New Orleans, and the Packers all playing for that. So they're going to be playing for that. Aaron Rodgers still playing to see if he can get MVP, which he has a nice lead. He has 41 touchdowns now with that last bomb he saw throw to Devontae as we're watching this. So here are the four playoff scenarios for the Bears heading into next Sunday. If the Bears win and the Rams win, the Bears are the number 7 seed. If the Bears win and the Cardinals win, the Bears are the number 6 seed. If the Bears lose and the Rams win, the Bears are the number 7 seed. And the only way the Bears don't make the playoffs next week is if the Bears lose and the Cardinals win against the Rams in Los Angeles next week. So those are your clinching odds. The Bears have a 70% chance of making the playoffs, according to our man Steve Kornacki, who's on Football Night in America tonight. So how are you feeling going to this game? Because as I was saying earlier, I'm going to give you another stat for how the Bears have fared in winner-take-all, you know, type scenarios, you know, in week 17. In 2008, I think, remember, everything fell the Bears' way. Everybody who needed to lose for the Bears to make it lost. And then the Bears lost to the Texans in that final game in Houston. I remember that. 2010, we'd already clinched. I think we were the number 2 seed that year. All we had to do was keep Green Bay out of the playoffs. Remember, we scored the touchdown, and everybody wanted Lovey to go for the two-point conversion. Take out your biggest rival now. Do not bring them back and let them bite you in the ass. This motherfucker played for overtime, and we lost. And it came back to bite us in the ass in the NFC Championship game, a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers did what Aaron Rodgers did, even though partially it's because Jay Cutler got injured, but whatever, it's a discussion for another day. Then in 2012, we won our game, but Minnesota, who was trash that year, upset Green Bay. And by the way, to this day, I feel like Green Bay screwed us on purpose. But I was fine with that because I said if we need the Packers to win for us to get in, I don't want it that bad. That's just my Packer hate. And then who can forget? 2013, 4th and goddamn 8, which, out of all the Bears losses I've experienced in my life, this is number 2. The Super Bowl, obviously, this is number 2 for me, personally. Because it was just, we had literally just come out of fucking timeout. Not because I thought that team was that good. Not because I thought that team was going to make a run when we got into the playoffs. It's probably not. We're probably going to be one and done. But we literally just came out of a fucking timeout. And on top of that, Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall put on a fucking show that day. So those are the things you need to know going into next week. How are you feeling? You're going to be in the building.
Okay, first of all, you just put a lot on us with that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, you just put a lot on us with that unfortunate, not reanimation, but unfortunate a trip down memory lane with the 4th and 8. I didn't need to go through all this.
I had to set the scene.
You are setting a terrible scene.
But see, I'm setting the scene to let you know that something's got to go our way eventually.
Here's my take. My thing is this. The Bears are put in a position where they can control their own destiny and they can win out. You do not have to worry about moving parts anymore. It is strictly you win, you're in. And once you get into the playoffs, the best possible thing you can do is be hot. That's the truth. The best possible thing you can do is be a hot team going into the playoffs. This is the story of the Giants Super Bowl wins. Every single one of them going into the postseason hot. And I never thought they would have won any of those Super Bowls. You know, that's the crazy part about that. I never saw them winning. So the fact that the Bears are in a position now for them to win, and honestly have a good chance for them to win next week, and a good chance to make some damage in the playoffs, considering where they were, they should be happy that they're in a position right now. And it shouldn't be that we, as Bears fans, should be so worried about, oh, this happened, I'm going to get let down. I get it. There's so many things that have happened in Bears history, from the fourth and eight, from the Steve Smith game. And was that 2005, 2004?
It's 2005.
2005 from...
It was a sunny day outside. We ordered Waldo Cooney's pizza.
From even the horrific Super Bowl loss to the 2011 NFC Championship. So all of these things, yes, it's a bad memory. But at some point in time, things have to change. Will this be it next Sunday? I don't know. I can't tell you for sure if it is. But one thing's for certain, this is what a football team lives for. And I can tell you for sure that everyone in the Bears organization is aware of what's at stake. Yes. Everyone is aware. This is a chance to almost right some wrongs, if you want to look at it that way. I mean, this is the playoffs for the Bears. When I talked to Deshaun Gibson, he said this is the playoffs. He said this is the playoffs for us. He said the best thing we need to do right now is get out there, work our tails off, and play. The only issue that I'm not even concerned about the offense, because I mean, it's funny. I look at a PFF staff, Adrian Amos ranked 5 out of all safeties in the league.
Yeah, what do they like about this nigga, man?
Dude, they have Corey Davis on the Titans as the number 5 wide receiver in the league. I'm confused by this. I don't know how they rank these stats. Anyway, but I look at a Packers defense, and as you heard Chris Collinsworth at the start of this, of course, you're going to hear this on Monday, but since we're watching during Sunday Night Football, Chris Collinsworth said, yeah, neither of these teams care about defense. They're here to score points. So the best thing that the Bears have going on is that they can score points right now too. But the thing that they have going on that the Packers don't is they still have a defensive core that can do damage. The issue I have going in is everybody has to play. You know, this is a time where I say everyone has to play.
Jalen Johnson busts a screen. We need y'all.
I mean, yeah. I don't know what was – I would have to go through my emails and see what's the injury report. But right now, it's put up a shut up. If I'm a coach, I'm like, yo, get in there. We need you right now. This is everything on the line for you, all of the marbles. Of course, there are certain things that players will have, certain injuries that they can't play past it. But right now, this is what we live for. How will I feel at Soldier Field next Sunday? Terrible. I will feel anxious out of my mind. And if the Bears would have went on a game-winning kick, I would love to be home yelling. That is my only...
Yeah, what are you going to do if it comes down to like a game-winning kick? 40-yarder, Santos makes it all money. As a member of media, you can't be like, let's go!
I'm just going to cry in my seat, that's all.
You're going to be like that Ryan Pace gift with the shit shaking?
Basically.
It's going to be you?
I'm just going to be in my seat shedding a few tears. It's like, I couldn't imagine if the Bears were to go to the Super Bowl. Luckily for me, they won't have any home field, so I don't have to worry about being so difficult to watch
game regardless.
But if the Bears were to go to the playoffs and they had home field, I'll be like, oh God, I don't want to be here. And it's not because I wouldn't want to enjoy the game, but playoff games don't give me tickets because I don't want to go. I want to be at home. Why? Because if they lose, I can cry in my pillow. That's the best thing. So
I have a question for you, because I think it's a little different for me. If we lose next week, are you going to be, like, devastated?
No.
I feel like if I lose, it depends on how we lose. If it's a close Aaron Rodgers fuck you type game, you know, now I'm going to tell you what would be the most disappointing for me. This would be the most disappointing for me. If we lose, but Arizona wins on some close shit, I would be so fucking mad. But at the end of the day, like I said on Twitter, we made our bed. We got to lay in it. Nobody told us to lose 6 in the fucking row. Shit, if we'd have won, if we'd have held on to that 10-point lead against Detroit, we'd have clinched today.
Yeah.
We would have clinched today, and we would be thinking about maybe resting starters next week. Yeah. This game wouldn't even be a factor. But you made your bed, and you lay in it. But the nervousness is, Bears fans, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to give y'all a pep talk. Stop crying like some hoes, okay? Worrying about who, even before we knew the outcome of Rams-Seattle. Now we know for a fact that Packers are going to be playing their starters next week. Before that, people was worrying about, oh, I need this to happen so we're not playing their starters. You in the playoffs, nigga. Okay, let's just say that the Packers didn't play their starters. You beat the Packers. You got to play New Orleans 7 days later. So you might as – or you might have to play Green Bay again. Because it might have been Green Bay again because we beat them. And maybe, you know, Seattle, somebody wins. Now they got the number one seed. Then you got to play Green Bay again. So what does the 7 days matter? You can sit home by them this week or next week. So what you got to look at, like, if the Bears are going to make a run, they're going to make a Giants-type run to the Super Bowl, which I don't think they will. But if they do make one of those type ones, you're going to have to beat good teams. You got to be good to it. It's just that fucking simple. You play these games to get here. I've seen a couple of media members ask, is this helping the Bears? We need to fire people. We don't want to have to fire people. You play to win the fucking game. I'm trying to win. I don't want 3-4, 5 win seasons. Those shits are pain in the ass. I've had a good time over this last month watching this team, watching Mitch look like an actual good quarterback, watching this offense put up points, watching Laser call good plays. I'm enjoying this. I want to ride this wave. I ain't got nothing to look forward to with the goddamn Bulls. The White Sox don't play the fucking April. So give me something to watch in the meantime. So I'm with that Bears. I'm telling y'all, this is what that scary feeling you got, the anxiety you got in your belly. That's this time of the year. That means your team is playing, you know, meaningful football. So that's what we're here for. And I want to give my hats off to Matt Nagy. I call him Matthew on here every fucking week. I'm one of his biggest critics, if not the biggest critic. I didn't just join the hate Matt Nagy brigade over last year. I built that motherfucker at the end of 2018. He said, y'all just visit here. I live here. I've been on it. But with that being said, I've got to give credit where credit is due. I think he's a shit play caller. But I think this guy's a really good coach. I think he's a good coach. No matter what happens this week, he's going to finish 3 seasons without a losing record. And if anybody followed this bum-ass franchise, that doesn't happen a lot.
No.
So no. I believe he saved his job regardless. I think if he would have gave the – there's two calls that potentially the Bears season could have went a lot different if these two things happened. Number one, if he gave the playbook to fucking Laser earlier. Number two, I tweeted on Twitter today, man, Foles is trash. He's garbage. I apologize to Mitch. I apologize to you Trubisky truthers. Even when Foles came in today, he almost threw a pick on the first row. The man is trash. Needs a statue. He caught the Holy Ghost for like 2 weeks in 2017. That's it. The man is garbage. And it's not like Mitch's play when he got pulled out was terrible. Nagy was just looking for a fucking reason. That's really all it was. So there's a lot of question marks, but Nagy took his mistakes and he corrected them, which is what a good coach does. Now, with all that being said, I think he's the only person out of the big three who I believe is 100% going to be here next year. I think no matter what happens, that Nagy's going to be here.
Yeah.
100%. I think Mitch, 60 to 70% chance he'll be here next year. I think unless we make an NFC Championship game, I still think Ryan Pace is dead man walking.
Yeah, I don't see how Ryan Pace.
Unless we make a run, I think that boy is gone. So that to me is, you know, is what I'm looking at. But this is the first time in my life heading to a playoff situation where I'm like, you know what's the number one thing I'm worried about? Users, can we score enough? I'm worried about the defense.
Yeah.
We put no pressure on Mike Lynn. That nigga is a statue.
Yeah.
Did we even sack him today?
One sack.
Okay.
One sack, 3 hurries.
That's what I'm nervous about, man, is the defense. The secondary, everybody needs to play. Because you going to be guarding – fucking Devontae Adams. And who's the other three-name nigga who we don't know who be killing? Vontaze Scantley,
Miles Starling, and who's the running back? Jones?
Aaron Jones.
Pretty solid running back, too.
Yeah, Aaron Jones is a good running back. And my nigga Lotto says he's a really good person, too. He said I tried to talk shit with him. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, you guys, you know, I like Chicago. He was like, I couldn't even talk shit anymore.
That reminds me of when that commercial with Kobe and D Rose. He said, "That's why I have 4 rings." Derrick Rose was like, "I can't say nothing back to that." My biggest worry for once is it's exactly as you said. It's not the offense. I'm expecting the offense to put up points, which is hilarious because I have never expected the Bears offense to put up points in any year I've been a Bears fan.
You know how we react to shit mid game. Kevin Durant just got his ass dunked on by fucking Terry Rozier. Goddamn.
I mean, does that really matter?
No, no. That's our trademark. We interrupt. Go ahead. Continue.
I trademark this to interrupt. But as I was saying, this is the first time I've ever. Oh, this is the duck you're talking about? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, you got boomed on.
Yeah.
I'm surprised KD went off of that. Anyway, this is the first time I've ever expected the Bears offense to put up any points. Like, I mean, ever. I've never expected them in any year I've been a Bears fan for them to put up points. None. I mean, even in the year where we were like, there was an explosion of offense. Was it the Adam Gase year?
Yeah.
Explosion. Even though this is the first time they put up 30 points, four games in a row since 1965, we called it explosion. So, no, this is the first time I'm expecting the Bears offense to handle business. They have a secondary in the Packers who I think is probably their best unit, but best unit in terms of the DBs, the linebackers, and the defensive line, but they're still not that great. The linebackers can move, and the defensive linemen are not bad, but this is more than enough for the Bears line to handle that. They've dealt with better lines than the Packers line. My issue is the Bears played them just a few weeks ago, and it was not a close game at all.
I have some news that might potentially alter next week. So the Rams aren't certain if Jared Goff is going to be able to play next week. Because he fucked his thumb up. He injured his thumb. Goff will undergo further testing. There are concerns about his thumb condition. So then that makes it, the Bears are going to really have to fucking win on Sunday.
Well, it was always they controlled their own destiny. So I'm not, that has no bearing on what I have to say. Because at the end of the day, it was always about the Bears controlling their own destiny. So it kind of is what it is. But the Bears control their own destiny, and so they shouldn't be focused on any game. With the Cardinals and the 49ers, that was a different story. They needed them in order for them to be able to control their own destiny. And I think it was either Roquan, or was it Tashaun? Tashaun Gibson again said, you know, I was watching, I was anxious. You know, I was making sure that they won. We all were. And so that was something they were focused on. But right now, why do we care about that? You know what I mean? And why are we looking for a backup?
True.
If the Bears can't beat the Packers for a second time this season, they're not going to do anything in the playoffs. So why are they looking for a backup? I wouldn't be looking for anything right now. The Bears.
But that's big for the Rams too, because if they lose next week, they're out.
Yeah, what they should be focusing on is beating the Packers first and foremost, and I mean getting a huge monkey off the back. It seems like every Packers win has been something happened. You know what I mean?
We talking about every time we beat them?
In recent memory, every time the Bears have beaten the Packers, there's been something else that went with it. I remember that the Bears injured Aaron Rodgers for a couple of weeks and his backup came in, and so the Bears had to face him and they won. I was like, yeah, they beat the Packers. Then it was that – was it Christmas or was it Thanksgiving game where the Bears stopped them on fourth down? That was the only time that I said that felt like a legitimate win. Outside of that, it felt like something else happened in order for it to get there. So this is the first time that I really want the Bears to go in there and beat them. I mean, let Aaron Rodgers play his game and beat him at his own game. I don't remember a win when the Bears have played him at his own game and won. I really don't. That is my only issue. And right now, like, as you
see, you got to put him on his ass, man.
Yeah, right now, if you're watching the Sunday night game, if you're listening, you watch the Sunday night game, what are you seeing Aaron Rodgers do? Move out the pocket, yak. Move out the pocket, yak. Play action, move out the pocket, yak, 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 yak. That's all it is. He has Tanyan, who's a tight end, who's good. All of his skill players are damn good. You know what I mean? And these dudes can make plays once they get the ball in their hand. And so I don't know, man. It's tough for how I feel right now, but he gets the ball out quick. He gets the ball out in about 2.5 seconds. And he's just doing a lot of things good. And so you have to be able to roll with those punches and still play well. And the best thing you can do is freaking just get him on his ass. That's the best thing you can do.
I'm worried about. I feel like the pass rush has just not been there the last couple of weeks.
No, I don't think the pass rush has been there the last couple of weeks either. And I'm not sure. There have been, okay, the last week there were a lot, the Bears pass rush did good. The Bears pass rush did good. This week, no. This week, I did not see really anything that convinced me. You had someone like Mike Glennon, who is strictly a pocket passer, and you allowed him to be a pocket passer. That being said, he's garbage, but you allowed him to play the game. So I'm not going to act like that doesn't concern me. My main issue is that I don't really see an alternative to what they can do.
outside of Pagano being aggressive. If there's one game that it needs to be hammered into Chuck Pagano, that you have to send pressure. Now, we know Aaron Rodgers is great with defending off pressure. If there's one thing he can do is make adjustments at the line of scrimmage or make quick adjustments on the fly while he's outside, while the ball is already snapped or rolling outside of the pocket, he can do all of those things. And when the play breaks down, I don't know a quarterback in NFL history who has done better than him. So I won't act like this is not a mountain to surmount. If I was someone who was betting my betting, and, you know, who had a history of betting and wanted to bet the odds, if my life depended on it, I would probably say Packers based on the history, right? The history is the Bears can't get over that hump. But I will say that things feel different for this Bears team. And I don't know exactly what it is. The special teams has been there. Cordero Patterson is a great returner. Cairo Santos is among the best kickers in the league. And the offense is in high gear. Running game's not stopping. Mitch Trubisky is making it easy for the offense. And he's making tight window throws when he needs to, making better reads. The issue then becomes, is the defense going to do what they did the first 8 games of the season, where they are amongst the top 10 in defense, and now they find themselves like at 15 because they have not – it's a combination of things, but it's been pressure. It's been defensive backs.
Bad tackles.
Yeah, the defensive backs not necessarily even guarding a person, but guarding space. And, I mean, when you're in the zone, sure, you have a zone to occupy. But when you're in the zone, you need to be picking up players who come across the zone. It seems like too many times the Bears have just been, man, oh, I'm in my space. I'm cool with my space. If a ball happens to come near me, hey. But it was not, let me focus on the person, I'm there. And we all know what happens when the Bears – break and the play breaks down. What is 4th and 8? 4th and 8 is the Bears breakdown. Julius Peppers gets outside. Julius Peppers has a free hit on Aaron Rodgers. He gets cut blocked. That allows Aaron Rodgers to bomb it. Chris Conte has completely broken away from coverage for some odd reason, which allowed who was that nigga's name? Number 18, Randall Cobb, to get a touchdown. I remember like the back, like it was it happened right yesterday. Now. I remember like
I can hear Joe Buss calling, Cobb is in the end zone. Touchdown, Green Bay.
And I thought to myself, they did it again. They broke my heart. They broke my heart. And they did it like this. I never. And that was tough. And it was different for me because I was a lot older than I was in 2006. When the Bears went to the Super Bowl in 2006, I was.
You were 16. I was 18.
No, I wasn't 16 yet. I was 15.
No, you were 16.
2006 was in February. I was not 16.
The game was in 2007.
The Super Bowl was not in 2007.
Yes, it is. It was the 2006 season. The game was in February 2007. It's February 4th, 2007. I'll never forget the day. It was my senior year of high school.
I'm going to defer to you, so I'm not even going to trip.
Yeah, it was my senior year of high school. You were
okay,
you were 16,
nigga, I know. Man. Okay, shut up. Oh, my God, they just scored again. Anyway. Now you let me lose my train of thought because you wanted to be petty with.
How are we petty? I always wanted to make sure you got it right, nigga.
But anyway, so I was 16 years old when that happened, and not as cognizant of the game of football or even life as I was during that 4th and 8. What was 4th and 8? Was that 2013? When was that?
2013.
I was what?
That was the first. That was the first Trestman season. 2013. I was 24. So you were 22.
I was 22. But I'm a lot more cognizant. I was a lot more cognizant when I was 22 years old as opposed to 16 years old. And at 16 years old, I had so much more insight into the game. I knew more of what was happening. If I saw a safety come up, I said, all right, they're about to run cover 3. I was expecting a lot more from the game and expecting a lot more from the team because I observed more. Whereas in 2006, 2007, I'm 16 years old. I'm a diehard Bears fan, but there's still a lot of stuff that I'm learning about the game myself. I don't even think I had made it to varsity at that point. So it's a lot of stuff I'm learning. You know, I see something like, what the hell was that? Well, if they go, how in the world are they going to do with Cedric Benson? Oh, they'll be fine. Not understand that Cedric Benson was such a huge part of that Bears running game in 2006 season. So there was a lot of reasons as to why that 4th and 8 hunts me more necessarily than the Super Bowl in certain ways. Of course, I will never forget the Super Bowl and crying my ass off. That's something that has stuck with me throughout my life. But that 4th-and-8 does sting. And when I think about the Bears having another chance at the playoffs, the first thing I can think of is, God, I mean, you watch Aaron Rodgers, what he's doing against the Tennessee Titans as the date of this recording, and he's beating up on the Titans. And you're thinking, here we go. And so you've had to battle against folks on Twitter who said, man, we just got to pack it up. And that's what they're used to. The way we think about the game is not going to change the outcome of the game. Fans can be defeatist. We don't need the players to be defeatist. That's the biggest thing. So I'm not concerned that the fans are afraid, because you're not there. And yeah, so it's not going
to. We ain't the ones playing the game.
Exactly. No one. I even with home field advantage, there is no home field advantage unless there's a weather issue. Like right now, the Titans are having an issue because they're playing against snow. That's the biggest thing. They're playing against snow. I don't know how often Tennessee gets snow as compared to Wisconsin, but I know it isn't this much. I know that for a fact. Whereas Wisconsin, where's the Green Bay Packers? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is out there like he's playing in his backyard. So home field advantage will only mean something to very few teams.
Yeah. It's really just going to be about weather.
Yeah, that's why I said it's really only weather. And then that weather has to be bad that day. And it might not necessarily be bad. You know, with climate change, the earth gets warmer. And so you're going to see a lot more warmer days randomly throughout the certain seasons. During the winter right now, Chicago, there hasn't been a lick of snow. Winter started, a week ago? Winter typically...
December 21st.
Yeah. We colloquially consider winter is typically in November. November is when we're like, all right, it's about to start snowing. Because in our childhood, November is when it would start snowing. But now it starts to get pushed further and further and further back.
I don't know when winter gets started anymore.
Okay.
I haven't for a long time.
Oh, okay, nigga. Okay. So I'm not necessarily, relaxed, or I have no sort of fear about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Yeah, it haunts me. You don't think it does?
I mean, it haunts. I think the Green Bay Packers in general haunt me. I'm going to be real. Even if Jordan Love was starting next week, I'd be nervous, nigga. It's the Packers.
The Green Bay Packers don't haunt me. Mike McCarthy used to haunt me, which is so funny when I see Cowboys fans. So you hired a bum coach. I was like, man, Mike McCarthy was a good coach. What are you talking about? I don't understand that their displeasure with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy rejuvenated that Packers franchise. So whatever, I guess, but I don't understand that. I was literally terrified of what the Packers could do under Mike McCarthy. I realize now with McCarthy's departure that Aaron Rodgers had just as equal amount of contribution into how good they were as Mike McCarthy did. It's the same with Bill Belichick. People thought Cam Newton would be plug and play with the Patriots.
I did too.
No. No.
I did too.
You realize now that Brady wasn't a system QB. It's that him and it was a symbiosis. Every single party benefited from each other's strength. The issue is now is Tom Brady's doing good with another team. Bill Belichick ain't. It's not a detriment to Bill Belichick's character. But I say that to say I've been afraid of Aaron Rodgers the most. I mean, I have been afraid of the Packers the most when Mike McCarthy was there. With Mike LaFleur there, he's obviously a good coach as to where he's got them. And I don't know Packers fans to gauge how they feel about him. That's the one thing about the rivalry with the Packers. I'm not going to be friends with you if you're a Packers fan religiously. Now, I know people who will root for the Packers because they hate the Bears. That's fine. But I don't know. I don't have any close friends who are Packers fans. You know what I mean?
I don't either.
Me and Scott have a cousin who is a Packers fan, and I don't want to hear from him. You know what I mean? He came to my house the other day, and I was like, and I switched the topic. It's not funny. Ain't nothing funny about you talking about the Packers. It reminds me of J.J. Watt's statement he had after the game about how it's an investment for fans who watch this game. They stick through us even if they're trash. And that's the truth. Sports is not just sports. You know, I've tried to tell myself that through my entire life. It's just a game. It's just a game.
Did you see J.J. Watt's rant on that set? It kind of went where he said that.
Yeah, nigga, I just said that. You ain't paying attention. You ain't your phone, nigga.
Deal with us here, people.
But as I was saying, realizing that it isn't.
I did pull a Pootie Tang.
I know. Realizing that it is an investment and how much it means to the fans to play this, it's It lets you know that this is not just a game. Football is not just a game. Sports, I have tried really my entire life to say, yeah, it's just a game. And even when I am at Soldier Field and I'm watching these games, I tell myself, yeah, it'll be all right. Well, they lost. I was there for almost all of the 6-game losing streak. So many of those games were at home. I was watching them. I said, eh, it's all right. But I went home with the ugly, not ugly, but the nasty feeling in my body. A nasty feeling. I'm like, it just ruined my week. Even when they sucked, it ruined my week. But
it's a good thing. Like, you could tell yourself in your head, I'm not going to get upset. Like, even when the White Sox lost to the A's, I was like, oh, you know, it's our first year making it. I'll be fine. I was fucking pissed when we lost that last game. I was fucking hot. Now, the difference is I get over it quicker. Yeah. That's the difference. It don't take me as long to get over a loss. But you're right. You're a fan, and this is what being a friend's fan's about, man. I zoned out because I was having a.
All right, nigga. I was still talking, so we're
no,
not.
No, but I wanted. It goes to what you were saying. I was zoned out because I was having a heated conversation with somebody on Twitter, who I said just reiterating what you just said a second ago. Like, Jared Goff's injury don't really fucking matter. We gotta win the fucking game. If you can't fucking beat the Green Bay Packers, you just gonna get eliminated 7 days later. What's the point of that? You gotta beat good teams. So that's just where I'm at with it, man. Stop looking for handouts. Win against good teams, man. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah, as I was saying before, you pulled a pops, interrupted me, and got into your own thing. Yeah, I feel Bears fans who are afraid. It makes sense. But what are you going to do? In the words of philosopher Tony Stark, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? The best thing that the Bears can do right now is treat it like any other game. Well, not. You want to treat it like any other game, and you don't want to treat it like any other game. In the sense that you want to go into it not thinking that you're about to play the Monstars. You want to go into it thinking that you're playing humans who are made of flesh and bone, just like you are. And you want to go into it thinking we can beat them. But you also want to go into it realizing this is our shot to get into the dance, in the words of Tashaun Gibson. This is our shot to get into the dance. And as you've known throughout sports history, the playoffs do not make sense. The playoffs are like an alternate reality. You could have been on top during the regular season, and you get in the playoffs and you just suck. And I do not know why you do. I really can't explain why you do. And so the best thing that the Bears can do is not concern themselves with, ooh, it's the Packers. The fans will, but we're just fans. Anyway, continue to one of your points.
Can we talk about Mr. Trubisky? There's a couple things I want to talk about. One, I want to give a shout-out to two people. I want to give a shout-out to our guy, David Montgomery, D-Mo. Crossing 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. He had a pretty solid game today. Allen Robinson, pay the man. I don't really know what else to say. $20 million a year, pay him. Pay him. Give him his fucking money. He has 100 catches this year, which is his first time since leaving
Jackson. First time in his career. And also, it was done in the area, in the same stadium in the team that he was drafted by.
Okay, so it was his first time in his career. I thought it was the first time since Jacksonville.
First time in his career.
So shout out to Allen Robinson. I think those are the only two shout outs I wanted to give. But Mr. Trubisky, thing about Mitch is, man, he had maybe the worst interception I've ever seen him throw in his entire life today. But I think there was a play later on in the game where he kind of had the same situation where he didn't see when he usually would make a bonehead throw, but he ran it up for the touchdown instead.
Yeah.
That to me showed you. Now we're in an interesting position right now because now you're like, does Mitch come back or not? Now, you've been saying on this podcast for weeks that people have been telling you, you've been hearing in the streets, that Mitch is going to come back next year. How do we, if you could take your Mitch shades off, how do you realistically look at Mitch's play? What do you expect from Mitch? We're not going to get too deep into the Packers game because we will be back with our preview pod this week. We took a week off last week. We'll be back with our preview pod, and we're going to look more in depth into that Packer week. But how do you look at Mitch's performance, and what do you think his future lies? What do you think you're going to see from him on Sunday?
Honestly, I think you're going to come out and see a focused Mitch. That's the truth. You're going to come out, you're going to see a focus mission, you're going to see someone who wants retribution. I was looking at Mark Potash's Twitter, and he was like, the Bears do this, and then the Bears would get all the way to the Super Bowl, face the Chiefs in the ultimate revenge game. Mitch, I started crying laughing. And I was like, that is some poetic stuff that you see in the movies. But what the Bears have right now before them is a revenge game. This is Mitchell Trubisky's best opportunity to get his revenge on the Packers. Revenge on the Packers is he's historically not played well against them. But what has he done now? If the first read isn't open, he hits the second read. And all of these reads have been very, very good. Like that touchdown run, I was like, there you go.
Yeah.
Don't even waste time. The funny thing is he's an excellent runner. You know what I mean? He is the best runner in the NFC. That
for years, keep he's fucking the, running.
He's the best runner in the NFC North.
Yeah.
He is amongst the best running quarterbacks in the NFC. Of course, obvious candidates like someone like Russell Wilson would be ahead of him, but he's a fantastic runner. But the issue is that the moment he runs out the pocket, the boy got to get his sea legs. You got to get him.
He got to get his what?
His sea legs. It's a colloquial term people use when someone gets on a boat. They need to adapt to the fact that the water is splashing, the fact that the boat is rocking. You got to get your sea legs. And for Mitch, he needs to get in the habit of running constantly.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He needs to get in the habit of the move, shifting the pocket to the left, shifting the pocket to the right, and get in the habit of, the pocket is about to collapse. Let me step up or let me make a reasonable run to stretch the field. And I thought he actually did that this game very well. That pass, I don't know if he just thought, fuck it, it's the end of the first half. Who cares? That's the only thing I can think of. Because other than that, it didn't really make sense. Devontae Adams, God in heaven.
Is that his third fucking touchdown?
He didn't get the other one. That's his second.
They kicking their ass.
Like I said, this is the actual home field. This is what home field is. It's the weather.
Yeah.
Tennessee cannot deal with this weather. But but that's the best thing for Mitch to do is to use his legs, get out the pocket, and find the open man. The Packers cannot hang with these skill players. We know that. There is no one who can hang with these skill players. Adrian Amos got his revenge last season. It's time for you to get revenge on Adrian Amos. I want to see Mitch launch it in Adrian Amos' direction. And I want to see them players get up and get passes. Allen Robinson, it's clear you can't guard him. So I want you to go up there and make it and drop passes in the bucket. Take those shots. Let them know that you're here. Get them a little shell shot. And then run it down the gut. And with Aaron Rodgers, the best thing you can do, honestly, you need to be aggressive with blitzing, but you don't need to send a lot with blitzing. That's my take. You're going to have your front four. You know what I'm saying? This is a 4-3. You're going to have your front four, front five. You're going to have them blitzing. You're going to have your nose tackle, your two defensive ends, and a linebacker blitzing. That's good. Consider throwing in one more and maybe calling it a day. I'm not saying you need to be blitzing 6 or 7 when you want to be that aggressive. That's not a mistake that Aaron Rodgers is going to let lie. But you do need to dial it up more. You need to be creative with the stunts that you run. But you need to make sure that Aaron Rodgers realizes he can't go left. He can't go right. And they need to open the pocket, collapse the pocket. Spread out, collapse it. The best thing Aaron Rodgers can do is step out to the left or the right of the pocket. That is his best characteristics is getting outside
of the pocket. I'm getting flashbacks thinking about this shit right now. It's not fun. I was looking at that last touchdown, and I was just like, why couldn't it be any other team? Like, is he going to come and end this one last time? One time for the road?
But that's what I'm saying. Don't be so hard on Bears fans on Twitter.
No, see, I'm not woe is me, though. Yes, I'm just having my intentional
No, thinking. Nigga, you're being woe is me.
No, I'm not. I'm not being woe is me. I'm already fired up. I'm already.
You're fired up.
Fuck, let's do it live.
Well, do it live. You're afraid just like they are.
I ain't say I wasn't afraid. I ain't say it's not. I'm not. There's a difference between being afraid and being scary. There's a difference.
You're afraid.
I'm not afraid. I mean, I'm afraid, but I'm not scary.
You're scary and you're
afraid. I'm not scary.
You're scared.
So anyway, let me get to my point about Mitch. I don't think Mitch is becoming a good quarterback, but I do think Mitch is becoming a quarterback that you can win with. And there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league that you might not think that are good or whatever, but you can win with. And I feel like you put Mitch in the best positions. You give him an offensive line that blocks, which is the new offensive line that's been doing so. He can be serviceable. You know what I'm saying? And one thing I love from this offense is we've been beating down bad teams. That's what you're supposed to fucking do. You're supposed to beat the shit out of the Jaguars. You're supposed to beat the shit out of the fucking Houston Texans. These teams are abominations. So you're supposed to do that. So that's why I'm going to give it to them on that one, man. But, hey, man, this is what you play for. We're going to see what's going to happen next week.
I have a rebuttal for that, and it is Mitch is absolutely becoming a good
quarterback. Of course you're going to say that.
Of course I am, because this is my son. This is who I have catered to since he's come into the league. I have watched him grow, and I absolutely think he's becoming a good quarterback. And he might be a better quarterback for somebody else. And when I mean good, I don't want you to think I'm talking about top 10, top 5. Come on now. I'm talking about he will enter to the
realm of top 15?
A Dak Prescott.
Okay.
That is where I think he is entering into, meaning the door is there and he's about to walk into that and make a few steps. That's why I think he is entering into. His play has looked a million miles better than it did before. The play calling is a lot more, what is the word? They understand who Mitch is, and they're going to make sure they play to his strengths.
Yeah, well.
That's what this offense is. So if Mitch makes a mistake, they're going to allow him to throw again. The running game is strong, so Mitch has to – not Mitch. The running game is strong, so the defense has to focus on not only David Montgomery, but also focusing on what is Mr. Bissy going to do with his legs. And when he does with his legs, what are players like Anthony Miller or Darnell Mooney going to do? Speaking of Anthony Miller, man, it's like he's been phased out of the offense.
Yeah, it's his block has been taken by Darnell Mooney. It's a wrap. It's a wrap for our guy.
Yeah. And that was truly our guy.
Family man time.
I know that there is a difference with the route running, because Darnell Mooney's route running is just a lot more smoother than his. That's just the truth.
Darnell Mooney was fighting for extra yards today. He was getting he was looking like an overall great receiver.
Look like he belonged there.
Yeah. He don't play like a rookie.
No. Jimmy Graham still old Mr. Reliable. What I want to see next week.
I thought that signing was terrible when it happened. I was wrong.
Look at him now. Amongst the leaders of tight ends.
Jimmy Graham's been worth every dollar. Every dollar this year.
Yeah. What I want to see more, I want to see some more Cole Kmet get involved. This football game is embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to turn this shit off.
This is egregious. Yeah. But that Jimmy Graham side was good. But what I want to see is Cole Kmet. I want to see Cole Kmet get involved. I want to see them using every single person. I mean, I want to see Anthony Miller get touches too. This is your best opportunity. You need to fire off every single gun right now. And the best thing you can do
What was the score to the last Packer game?
Like 41-30 or something like that.
They put up that many?
Yeah.
Let me see. Because I don't remember. Because that was a game I cut off at halftime. That was Mitch's first game back.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch was wilding in that game. Hold on. We got it here. 41-25. You were right. 40 goddamn one. Okay. Aaron Rodgers had 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's 21 for 29. He's 21 for 29. Mitch was 26 for. Mitch should not be throwing the ball 46 times next week. Yeah, Dave Montgomery had 11 carries in that game, 103 yards. Remember, most of them came off that 157 yarder.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to get into out of key. We'll get into that on the preview part. But yeah. Let's give our Walter Payton player of the game, man. Before we do that, I want to give a happy birthday shout out to our man JP, Jared Payton, man. Happy 40th birthday to you, my brother. I think this is pretty much unanimous, man. Who we say is the player of the game? Roquan. Davion Smith. He got snubbed at the Pro Bowl, which I was, upset about. At the same time, Pro Bowl's most overrated all-star game in sports. But
it is.
I do think he will be an all-pro. He had 8 tackles. They had 2 interceptions. He's like at 136 total tackles for the season.
128,
man.
I think.
It's 136, if I'm not mistaken. I have to go do my Googles. I think it's 136. Yes, 136. But we will be previewing this big, big, big matchup with the Packers. This is the biggest matchup with the Packers in 2 years. Remember, 2 years ago, we had to play the Packers in Soldier Field to win a division. And we were able to do that. Of course, that was a much better team than we have right now. We had a better defense. Look out for that. Follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at Flows Andalini. You can follow Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. You can follow 79th and Hallis at 79th AND Hallis on Twitter. And we're going to holler at y'all next week, man. Hopefully, we will be getting ready for a playoff preview pod. So we'll holler at y'all. And y'all stay safe.